Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to your Ministry of Finance First Quarter 2004 Report on Public Finances and Public Debt. At this time, all parties have been placed on a listen-only mode, and the floor will be open for questions following the presentation. It is now my pleasure to turn the floor over to your host, Mr. Alonzo Garcia, the Undersecretary of Finance and Public Credit. Sir, the floor is yours.
Hello, good morning to you. I would like to welcome you to Mexico's Ministry of Finance conference call on public finances and public debt report for the first quarter of the year 2004. Together with me is Dr. Alejandro Werner and Dr. Ricardo Sanchez-Baker, who will, after we make a brief introduction, will be very happy to take any questions you may have. Let me start with the macroeconomic developments in the first quarter of the year 2004. The Mexican economy's consolidation of the recovery process continues to gain momentum, supported by the favorable performance of external and domestic demand. If this trend continues, the annual economic growth during the first quarter of the year could exceed 3%. External demand increased as a result of the rebound of global manufacturing activity. The 6.6% quarterly annualized growth of industrial production in the U.S. during the first quarter of the year increased manufacturing imports from Mexico. In March, manufacturing exports posted their seventh consecutive positive annual growth rate. The average annual growth of manufacturing exports during the first quarter was 11.5%. Domestic demand has been growing due to the resilience of private consumption and the increase in domestic investment. In addition, the latest data for the first quarter of 2004 signal a rebound of investment in which the private sector is presumably contributing more to total capital expenditure. Total investment increased 1.7% in real annual terms in January and posted the third consecutive monthly increase in seasonally adjusted terms. The global economic activity indicator posted a 2.7 annual growth rate in the first 2 months of 2004. The rate of expansion of the monthly approximation of GDP in the first 2 months of the year is the highest observed for a similar period since the year 2000. Higher economic growth is boosting formal employment. The total number of workers registered at the Mexican Institute of Social Security increased by more than 216,000 between mid-January and the end of March of the year 2004. This favorable trend is expected to continue in April, regardless of the Easter seasonality. This rate of increase in formal sector employment is the highest in 4 years. Domestic financial market developments during the first quarter of the year were consistent with the Mexican economy's current expansion. The strength perceived from Mexico was reflected in an historically low sovereign bond spread, orderly foreign exchange dynamics, a moderate increase in short-term interest rates, and an upward trend in stock market prices. In April and the first days of May, financial markets continued to adjust to the increasing expectation of a U.S. monetary policy tightening cycle. In March, the Exchange Commission decided to modify the mechanism that determines the amount to be sold in the daily dollar auction. The change was done in order to smooth the amounts of reserves auctioned throughout the year. As a result of these changes, the sales during the period May-July will be $22 million a day and are expected to be relatively stable going forward. Macroeconomic stability and the reforms to the financial sector's legal framework have allowed credit to increase. Outstanding banking credit to households has risen considerably. The outstanding banking credit for consumption and housing aumented at real rates of 47% and 12% respectively at the end of the first quarter of the year 2004. Corporations issued close to 13 billion pesos of private bonds in the first 3 months of the year. The issuance of these private bonds contributed to a real growth of the total private securities outstanding, which exceeded 25% during the first quarter of the year 2004. Let me move now to the main public finances results in the first quarter of the year. Fiscal discipline continued to be strengthened in the first quarter of the year. During this period, the public sector balance registered a surplus of 47.2 billion pesos, almost 20 billion pesos higher than that of the same period of the previous year. The primary surplus for the first quarter of 2004 was a little bit over 100 billion pesos, which is 8.5% higher in real terms than that registered in the same period of 2003. The public sector's budgetary revenues for the first quarter of 2004 were 445 billion pesos, 5.5% higher in real terms than those obtained in the same period of the previous year. Oil-related revenues increased 12.4% in real annual terms as a result of the increase of oil prices in international markets and the increase in the oil export platform. Non-oil tax revenues increased 4.2% in real annual terms. VAT and income tax collections rose in real terms 5.6% and 4.6% respectively over the same period of the year 2003. During the first 3 months of the year, public expenditure policy was increasingly geared towards attending social needs and supporting productive activities. Expenditure policy has therefore rationalized administrative spending and has remained strictly consistent with the availability of financial resources. As a result of the savings and austerity measures established in Article 30 of the Expenditures Decree for 2004, there will be an estimated 4.6 billion pesos in savings in areas not considered as priorities. These savings represent a little bit over 17% of the administrative budget of public entities of the Federal Public Administration for the fiscal year 2003. It is worth highlighting that these savings will not have effects on education, health, social security, social and productive infrastructure, public security, and justice procurement and administration. In addition to these savings, there will be reductions on expenses such as communications, telephones, travel, and other administrative costs. Furthermore, the program foresees the removal or demotion of almost 13,000 public sector jobs. At the end of 2004, total public sector budgetary expenditures totaled close to 400 billion pesos, which is 1.5 higher in real terms than those recorded on the same period of 2003. Primary expenditures, defined as total expenditures minus financing costs, were 346 billion pesos, which represents 4.6% real increase over the same period in 2003. In this report, we introduced a revision of the public investment concept previously used. The revised figures reflect more accurately the impact of government actions on domestic productive assets. A growing fraction of federal expenditures are currently being carried out through transfers and subsidies targeted to specific sectors of the population. This public expenditure requires the participation of local governments, communities, and beneficiaries with the federal government. When the resources for such transfers and subsidies are approved in the budget decree, they are recorded as operational expenses. At that point, there is uncertainty regarding how much of these resources will eventually be used for investment projects. However, throughout the year, an important fraction of them increase public, communitarian, or private assets. Regardless of their role in capital expenditure, these resources continue to be considered entirely as operational expenses under the traditional methodology. From now on, programmable investment figures reported will consider the capital expenditure concept described above. However, this report includes figures for both the traditional and the modified investment definitions. The traditional public investment definition posted an 8.2% annual real growth in the first quarter of the year. The investment definition, which includes the subsidy resources that affect investment, as described above, grew at an annual real rate of 11.5% in the first 3 months of the year. Furthermore, overall public sector fixed capital investment, which includes budgetary fixed investment, an investment by state-owned enterprises under indirect budgetary control, undertaken with their own resources as well as financed investment projects known as PDVIEGAS, posted 11.2% real annual growth in the first quarter. Overall public sector fixed capital investment under the traditional definition increased 16.1% in real terms in the first 3 months of the year. Finally, the public sector's financial cost decreased 15.9% in real annual terms during the first 3 months of the year, mainly as a result of lower domestic interest rates. Let me now move to comment on the main results in public debt for the first quarter of the year. At the end of the first quarter of 2004, Mexico's total net public sector debt was 25.2% of GDP, the same figure as in the last quarter of 2003. However, the composition of our debt slightly changed due to basically two factors. First, an increase in the net external debt to GDP ratio of 0.3% with respect to the previous quarter. This result is attributable to the global bond issues that took place during the first quarter of the year, which resulted in transitory increase in external indebtedness. However, it is worth emphasizing that these transactions are part of the overall financing policy for the year and are consistent with a net decrease in indebtedness of $500 million approved by the Congress for the year 2004. And the other factor is a reduction in the net domestic debt to GDP ratio of 0.3% with respect to the end of 2003. Let me comment on the external debt with more details. At the end of the first quarter of this year, the net external debt balance was $80.5 billion, which was $3.4 billion US dollar higher than the figure which was registered at the end of 2003. The result was due to net borrowings of $1.6 billion, a decline in the federal government external financial assets of $1.6 billion, and an upward accounting adjustment of $0.2 billion. As I mentioned before, this increase in the external debt is transitory. External indebtedness will gradually decline in the coming months as resources are directed to cover debt amortizations that are due this year. Among the external debt operations that took place in the first quarter, I would like to highlight the following ones. First, the issuance of a $1 billion bond with a five-year maturity and a floating interest rate. The bond pays LIBOR plus 70 basis points, which is the lowest spread ever achieved in a similar transaction for Mexico. The issuance of 500 million sterling pounds bond issued in the British market with a 20-year maturity. This issue pays 6.75% in pounds and is only 90 basis points higher than the rate paid by the British Treasury. With these two operations, the federal government diversifies its investor base by attracting those investors who seek floating interest or that normally focus on the British pound market. A third important transaction is the prepayment of 11 loans granted by the Inter-American Development Bank with an outstanding value of approximately $264 million. These credits were obtained prior to 1990 and had rates that were very high compared to the financial opportunities currently faced by the federal government. We estimate that this transaction will generate present value savings of approximately $30 million. Let me move to the domestic debt now. With respect to the domestic debt, at the end of the first quarter of this year, the outstanding balance of net domestic debt totals 912 billion pesos, which is 15.1 billion pesos lower than the figure registered at the end of 2003. This result was due to net borrowings of 20 billion pesos, an increase in the domestic financial assets of the federal government of 37.4 billion pesos, an upward accounting adjustment associated to inflation-indexed debt of 2.2 billion pesos. It is worth mentioning that, as in previous years, all of the federal government's financing needs will be covered in the domestic market, as established in the revenue law for 2004 approved by Congress. The federal government's domestic public debt strategy during this past quarter was directed to Ministry of Finance announced some important modifications in the format of the government securities auctions for the second quarter of the year. In particular, the Ministry of Finance now announces the targeted amount of securities to be issued in the relevant period instead of the traditional minimum amount. The use of targets provides better information to investors about the expected supply of government bonds, and increases the transparency of our public debt policy. Similarly, our public debt strategy continued to favor the issue of long-term fixed-rate bonds denominated in pesos. This strategy has increased the share of long-term securities with fixed nominal interest rate in the total domestic debt from 14.5% in the year 2000 to 40.3% at the end of last quarter of this year. As a result, the average maturity of government securities increased from 907 days at the end of 2003 to 954 days at the end of this quarter. Therefore, we are reducing the sensibility of public finances to adjustments in interest rates. Just to conclude, I would like to say that prudent macroeconomic policies have strengthened the country's fundamentals. Macroeconomic stability has been maintained, and domestic financial markets have adjusted to the shocks coming from abroad. The external and domestic demand growth needed to consolidate the economy's recovery is coming from the global economy and the resilience of household spending. Capital expenditure is recovering with an impulse from the public sector, and private investment is beginning to increase too. Fiscal consolidation is advancing in the year 2004. The public sector balance posted a larger surplus than a year earlier, derived from higher oil prices as well as from increases in non-oil tax revenues. And with this, we will move to the session of questions and answers. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, the floor is open for questions. If you do have a question at this time, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If at any point you wish to withdraw your question from the question queue, please press the pound key. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you do have a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Our first question is coming from Daniel Tillotson from Wachovia, New York. Your line is live.
Thank you. This is Dan Tillotson from Wachovia Securities. Let me congratulate you for an excellent result this quarter and for the ongoing improvement in the clarity of your presentation. I'd like to ask about another improvement, which I presume will eventually be incorporated. I understand that the definition of the public sector borrowing requirement does not include the debt of states and municipalities, something that is usually included in general government definitions around the world. And I recognize that in the past this has not been relevant because these entities had virtually no debt, but that they have been borrowing increasing amounts in recent years. My question then is whether you would have a rough estimate in terms of percent of GDP of how much such debt might eventually add to a broader and more comparable definition.
Yes, thanks very much. Yes, as you say, we do not include the debt of states and municipalities in our debt statistics, either the traditional version of or the historical balance of the borrowing of the public sector borrowing requirements, and it is so because it is not part of a public sector direct obligations. Now, the other important aspect here is that this debt is not of a very important size. Total state debt is below 2% of GDP. That's including all the states and the federal district. No? It is not a problem, and we think that going forward we have taken the measures for this debt to be maintained on a size which is in accordance with their capabilities of repayment. We have for some years now being under a different modality for these states to incur in debt. It is more oriented towards market mechanisms, and we think that gives the best guarantee for these obligations to be maintained in accordance to their capabilities to repay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you do have a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Thank you. Our next question is coming from Brian Miron from Fidelity. Your line is live.
Good morning. I was wondering if you've made any progress with regards to Pemex and restructuring the revenue contribution from Pemex, and if you have any plans to do so going forward.
Yes, thank you very much for your question. On that issue, I think the most important step towards changing the fiscal situation of Pemex was taken by Congress at the end of last year. As you know, Congress determined that the revenues that would come from the excess income that is associated with the exports at prices of oil in excess of the budgeted amount, instead of part of that or all of that coming to the federal government, determined that part of it would go to Pemex now, and it could it provided also that it would be used for investment in to be expended in investment projects. No, so that will result in some correction for this situation on Pemex. No. As long as obviously the price of oil remains higher than the $20, which was approved in the budget, I will leave my answer there.
Can you just remind me how much Pemex will be able to keep?
Yes, Alejandro Werner will answer that.
Well, that will depend on what's the price of oil that we will be having for the rest of the year. But basically, how this tax or the current tax regime for Pemex works is that we charge Pemex a 60% rate on their gross income. And when the price of oil is above the budgeted price, that it's $20 per barrel, we charge them an additional tax of 40%, so we get the full amount of extra revenues. However, this extra 40% is the amount that it will be given back to Pemex for import for investment purposes. So you can make your count taking into account that we will be exporting 1.9 million barrels per day, and depending on your assumption on the price, you apply the 0.4 factor for this additional tax that will be given back to Pemex, and you will have an estimate of what is the amount of money that Pemex will be getting from this tax on this year. Basically, this will apply for the four quarters of 2004. So during 2004, Pemex will be getting the amount of taxes paid for the first, second, and third quarter, and the fourth quarter tax that it's paid in 2005 will be going into Pemex's account in 2005.
Thanks very much.
Thank you. Our next question is from Benito Berber from HSBC. Your line is live.
Hi. Thank you, Alonso, Alejandro. I have two questions. Does the government have any concrete plan to reform the ISSSTE pension system? And if so, do you have any reserves to cover for the transition cost to a fully funded scheme? Thank you.
Yes, thank you. We do have we have been working on designing a a transition of the ISSSTE pension reform to a fully funded system. The general idea would be to first not to change any of the benefits of the people that is currently pensioned from the ISSSTE, no. Not to change anything of the pensions of the people that is currently working for the time that they have been working, and the idea would be to change to the new people that goes into that system, to change that to a fully funded system. The transition generation, no, would be the idea would be to recognize the rights they have accrued up to the moment where the changes are implemented, no, by providing them recognition through a recognition bond, an obligation of the federal government that could be deposited in their individual accounts, no? And that's the way we would recognize that those obligations. Now, that's in very very general terms the scheme we have been working on. We have been talking to some people that would be relevant in this decision, and we are trying to assess what is the best time for trying to push this reform through Congress.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is coming from Lucy Hornby from Energy Intelligence. Your line is live.
Hi. I noticed that you're still using the 1.9 figure for exporting crude for this year, but crude exports have been more along last year's levels, and there's been some talk from the Energy Ministry that they will not rise. Could you comment on that a bit?
Yeah, up until now, Pemex has been working with this assumption regarding the agreements that the Energy Ministry could be making with OPEC. There is nothing yet established, and we are still, and Pemex is still working with an assumption of around 1.9 barrels per day. So basically at this point, that's our working assumption. And if there's a point in time in which we have to change that assumption, we will communicate it in our public finance reports or through this conference call.
And could I follow up on the tax question about Pemex that had been asked earlier? My understanding was the broad outlines for this mechanism have been set, but that there's actually been no formal proposal drawn up yet, and that Pemex has not yet seen these revenues. What sort of timetable are you looking at for that?
I think Pemex has not seen this income yet, because up to the first quarter, we have only received the first payment that Pemex did in this year for this tax correspond to the income generated in the last quarter of 2003, that it's not covered by the income law of 2004. So basically the first payment that is related to 2003 does not correspond to Pemex. So the second payment that would be coming in, I think in April, that correspond to the first quarter of this year, is related to this year's income, and that will be given out to Pemex based on an estimation of the full year amount that we will be getting, and we are working in the details of how to make this transfer and guarantee, or that Congress has a guarantee that this money is spent for investment purposes, and that's the details that are being working upon with Pemex. And basically we have to make clear that this is actually an annual tax that it's paid at the end of the year or at the beginning of next year, and we are receiving, let's say, transitory or preliminary payments throughout the year, and with these preliminary or transitory payments, we will be making an estimation for the full year, and based upon this estimation, we will be designing the mechanism to transfer the funds back to Pemex.
Thanks very much.
Thank you once again, ladies and gentlemen. If you do have a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Our next question is coming from Roberto Sanchez from Federated Investors. Your line is live.
Thank you. Can you give us an idea on your borrowing requirements, given the adjustment that we have seen already in the domestic yield curve? How much do you expect to borrow on the longer duration maturity?
Yes, we have announced the borrowing plans for the second quarter already, and we will obviously stick to those amounts. No, as we said in the introductory comments, we have made a lot of progress during the past few years in extending the average life of the debt and the duration of the debt, and that is giving us at this time of under the current scenario of interest rates a position which is relatively comfortable from the public finances point of view, and we think that the price we paid along all these years is already providing us from several benefits. No, so we are planning to continue to increase let's say the proportion of fixed long-term peso debt as part of our total debt. No, on the details on what the plans are, I would ask Ricardo Sanchez Baker to comment on to give you some comments.
Thank you, Alonso. We have Congress approved for the whole year a borrowing ceiling in the domestic market of 84.3 billion pesos. From that, in the first quarter, we have borrowed 20 billion pesos. So for the remainder three quarters of the year, we expect to borrow in net terms the remainder of the 64.3 billion pesos. So that would be our borrowing requirement, and how we will obtain it as we announced in the auction schedule. That's the way we are going to obtain these resources, basically.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Salvatore Moreno from ING Bank. Your line is live.
Well, my question, it was almost responded by the previous answer of Ricardo. However, thinking in the third and fourth quarter issuance calendar, have you considered making slight adjustments to the pace of issuance of longer duration instruments? You know, this is the first time that Mexico is facing a tightening cycle with this duration of the local debt. Thank you.
Well, we are following closely the developments on the market, no, and basically when it is time to announce the new auction calendars, we will take our decisions. However, again, we value very much the benefits from that are resulting from extending our yield curve, and we are sure that the market will do so. We do not anticipate at this stage strong changes or big changes in our policy in our funding policy.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is coming from Gary Newman from Morgan Stanley. Your line is live.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Alonso y Alejandro. Sort of two-part question. The first related to the comments Alonso made earlier on the possibility of a recognition bond. Given how you envision the reform of Vista going forward, do you have any estimates on the range of what this would, what the reform would do to public finances as well as to your debt plans? And the second was on the, given the high price of oil, if there's been any thought for next year on rethinking the oil stabilization fund to provide for sort of an additional revenue buildup when oil prices are above not only the estimate for the year, but above some kind of long-term oil price assumption. Thank you.
Thank you, Gary. On the estimates on the bond recognition, we are still working on different on different ideas, no, that could change the way this bond is finally structured. So at this stage, we do not have any figures that are. You know that are close to final, so I would rather not provide any estimate at this stage. No. On the oil stabilization fund and the possibility of making further adjustments for the rule, this income is saved. I would say that we have been giving thoughts to this issue. No, however, as you know. This is defined in the budget process that takes place at the end of the year, and it is difficult at this stage we could give you any comments on any possible changes. On the context of the new budgetary law, there could be some changes to this. As you know, we have been working on this new budget law that could take to the level of the law things which are discussed now on a yearly basis. No, one of those, the idea is to upgrade to a higher level and give more certainty to some of these items which are included in these annual laws and which constitute an important part of granting the macroeconomic stability. So one of the things that are being thought about is to incorporate this oil stabilization fund concept into that law, no, we are working on that. Alejandro could comment a little bit more on this.
Thank you.
Actually, I think some of the discussions that have been taking place in Congress, given the initiative that the PRI presented on this topic, basically addresses the issue that you mentioned, thinking about budgeting with a medium-term price of oil and not with an immediate estimation of the following year, and then the additional revenues that are expecting to appear in a year in which the price of oil would be above its medium-term average should go directly to the oil stabilization fund. So basically what you were mentioning, it's a possibility that it's being considered in this new budget law and that can actually happen if Congress approves this law in its next session. Thanks.
Thank you.
As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, if you do have a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. At this time, I'm showing no further audio questions.
Okay. Very well. I would like to thank you again for attending this conference call, and I would like to remind you that if you have any further questions, I would ask you to contact our investor relations office or any one of us directly. Thanks very much for your attention. Bye-bye.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This does conclude today's teleconference. You may disconnect your lines at this time and have a wonderful day.